Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Well, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Today is October 7th.
I know.
First show of October. And, nice relaxing weekend.
Hello?
You. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, hello, hello. Hello from the East Coast.
Hello.
Hello. But,
yeah. If you guys are humoring me for a minute, I'm going to play this real quick. This
okay.
Is, I don't know if you guys seen it. It's called The Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
No, I haven't.
Okay. This one is called Civil Forfeiture. Check this out.
The police. They protect us, they serve us, and they provide us with an endless source of TV show one lines.
Rock, paper, scissors,
well, I know Serena Williams, but I know one thing. It's all over your wrist.
Who's going to cut your penis off?
Take a number.
Okay, now, you laugh, but admit it, you want to watch the rest of that episode right now. Now look, public trust in the police is one of the most vital elements in a civilized society. But for many Americans, that trust has been undermined by a procedure called civil forfeiture. Now, I know it sounds like a Gwyneth Paltrow euphemism for divorce, but incredibly, it's actually even worse than that.
Civil forfeiture is really a mechanism by which the state and federal government can seize people's property without having to convict them of a crime. Most people can't afford to hire a lawyer to challenge it. It's really legalized robbery by law enforcement.
Now think about it, that is a tough crime to report to the police. Give me a description of what the guy looked like. Well, to be honest, he looked a lot like the guy currently asking me what the guy looked like. And if you think this sounds bad, just wait until you see how it looks. Because the Washington Post recently published a major investigation featuring stories like that of this man, who was driving from Michigan to San Francisco with $2,400 in cash that his dad had lent him to start a new job when he was pulled over in Nevada.
I gave him my license and registration, and then as he was looking at that information, he asked me how much money I was traveling with.
Well, he told him about the money his dad gave him, which he kept in the trunk.
He told me to turn on my airbags on high and roll up my windows and get out of the car because he was going to run a canine around it.
Dove didn't find drugs, but he did find the $2,400.
He said, no, I'm going to keep the money because I've concluded in my investigation here that you are traveling from Michigan to California to purchase drugs.
Wow. There is so much wrong there, including the fact that any policeman who genuinely believes you need to travel from Michigan to California to purchase drugs needs to be introduced to the concept of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Okay? It's right there. And the problem is, stories like that are surprisingly common. In fact, since 9/11, under just one program, police have taken $2.5 billion in the course of over 61,000 seizures of cash alone from people who, and this is the mind-blowing part, were not charged with a crime. That is the sort of police behavior that we laugh at other countries for, along with their axes and silly hats. The way civil forfeiture generally works is that if the police believe they have a preponderance of the evidence that suggests your property was or could be used in a crime, they may confiscate it. That gets even weirder.
Many folks are unfamiliar with the idea of civil forfeiture, which is actually a case brought against directly against a piece of property where you don't need to be proven guilty of a crime for your goods to be taken away.
Exactly. You don't need to be charged with a crime. Because it's not you that's on trial, it's your stuff. That's why these cases have historically had eye-catching names, such as, and all of these are real, United States versus $8,850 in U.S. currency, United States versus an article consisting of 50,000 cardboard boxes, more or less, each containing one pair of cracker balls, and United States versus approximately £64,695 of shark fin. It must have been an amazing court case. And do you see those sharp things in the ring right now? Yes! Yes, the record shows the witness is pointed at roughly £65,000 of sharp things. Guilty, guilty. And it's also worth noting that your possessions generally have fewer protections under the law than you do.
Under civil forfeiture laws, your property is guilty until you prove it innocent.
How can that be possible? At this point, I suppose objects don't have their own civil rights leader, like Martin Scooter King or Harvey Carton of Milk. Now, to be fair, civil forfeiture laws have had some positive consequences. They've crippled powerful drug traffic organisations, thwarted criminals, and returned billions of dollars to victims. The problem is that many police departments are allowed to keep most or all of the money they seize. And knowing that starts to make you wonder.
It's true.
Amen.
Did you know that if someone tells the cops they think you're selling dope out of your house, guess what?
You're screwed.
They don't have to prove it. They can just take your house. Listen.
That the motivations of these kinds of questions.
Is there any large amount of cash in the vehicle? Are there any large sums of money over $5,000 of cash in the vehicle? How much money do you have? Any large amounts of your
I'll take whatever cash you got in there, and is that a Slurpee in the cup holder or flavour? Great, never mind. Do you know what? I will take it. I'll take it. The question, do you have cash in the vehicle, is surprisingly common in traffic stops, and the police are prepared to overcome any language barrier to ask it.
Tiene mucho, mucho dinero en su trucking trail?
Let's be clear. He just said, tiene mucho, mucho dinero en su trucking trail. Which sounds like an alien's first attempt to communicate with humans after crash landing in a taco bell. In fact, let's all just pause for a moment to enjoy that sentence, because every single word of it is funny. First, tenny, pronounced incorrectly. Mucho, one of these few words he knows in Spanish. Mucho, repeated word. De Niro, a famed actor. In, a rapid shift to English. Sue, rapid shift back to Spanish. Trucky trailer. It's magnificent. That is magnificent. It's a work of art. Now, this happened in Tennessee, a state where local law enforcement authorities are allowed to keep as much as 100% of the proceeds from civil forfeitures. A local news investigation found multiple troubling cases of people having money seized, such as George Ridley, who had $20,000 seized after he was stopped for speeding. The police officer argued it was drug money, despite the fact that Ridley had a pretty good explanation.
I told them I had the active bids on eBay that I was trying to buy a vehicle, and they just didn't want to hear it.
If Dr. Reeby had proof of his computer, but the murder officer drew up a damning affidavit, citing his own training that common people do not carry this much U.S. currency.
And did he tell you that he was trying to buy a car?
He did.
But you did not include that in your report. So why would you leave that out?
What do you mean you don't know? I expect a better answer from a police officer than a 4-year-old who just spilled grape juice on the couch. What happened to his rent?
I don't know. If it's not in my glass, it's not in my glass. I don't know.
It's not always just a roadside stop. In 2008, police raided the Contemporary Art Institute of Detroit during its funk night because it didn't have a liquor license, seizing 44 cars, under the argument that simply driving vehicles to the location of an unlawful sale of alcohol was sufficient to freeze a car. Which means you might as well see any car driven by any teenager on prom night, because they are all going to Chad's place. Chad's place, not Luca. We actually managed to get the security video of that Detroit raid, and you can see the police burst in and arrest people with the disco lights still swirling in the single funkiest shakedown in human history. But you just have to pay $900 to get their cars out of the impound, with the exception of the one person whose car was actually stolen from the lot to which it had been towed, which seems like the sort of thing the police should be investigating if they weren't too busy raiding Art Gallery funk nights. And at this point, you may be thinking, well, sure, the police departments are getting a lot of money from seizing stuff, but I'm sure there are limitations on how they can spend it. Well, allow me to take you to a 2012 Columbia, Missouri Citizen Police Review Board hearing.
How do you decide forfeiture funds?
You know, it's usually based on a need. Well, I took it back.
Professional, I'd imagine you sign off on.
Yeah, there's some limitations on it. You know, it's actually, there's not really on the forfeiture set.
Actually, there's going to be no limitations at all. Come to think of it, there's we were sort of gods with gods. We're like the anti-Spider-Man, great power, no responsibility. I can't believe this hasn't come up before.
And look, his honesty was not over.
If we just usually base it on something that would be nice to have, that we can't get in the budget for instance. So, you know, we try not to use it for things that we need to depend on, you know, because we need to go ahead and have those purchased. But it's kind of like pennies from heaven, you know, it gets you a toy or something that you need. Is the way we typically look at it.
That's right. That's right. They buy toys with pennies from heaven. Well, don't you know, those pennies may not be falling from heaven so much as from the pockets of the people they're holding upside down and shaking. And in terms of what kind of toys police departments buy, that really depends. A business in Massachusetts, one DA's office used forfeiture money to buy their own Zamboni. In the row, auditors noted, we could not determine where this machine was.
Back there on the border of Massachusetts and Rhode Island, did you know that? The Worcester County District Attorney's Office in the middle district.
The what? Wait a minute. The what county? Please say that again so I can get a good giggle.
Worcester County District Attorney's Office. Along with the police department, bought a Zamboni. You know what a Zamboni is used for?
Zamboni is the thing they use to clean the ice.
Exactly.
In the skating rink.
Why the fuck would they need to add Zamboni? Wait, it gets better.
Locating all the law enforcement purpose it serves. Although that last one is obvious, just think about it. Because if you are robbing a bank and the police pull up in a Zamboni, you're going to give yourself up just out of sheer curiosity. And in Texas, one DA's office has an even more imaginative idea. And I let the concerned citizens at a public hearing tell you all about it.
With or without law degree, everyone here knows that purchases of kegs of beer, margarita machines, and bottles of Crown Royal for office parties, as was done in Montgomery County, don't qualify as expenses for official purposes.
That's true. In Texas, they bought a margarita machine. They were literally using this money as their own personal slush fund. The money is perfect. Look, if the police need money for equipment, we should clearly be giving it to them. And if they need money for margarita machines, they should be f***ing paying for that themselves. But these civil forfeiture laws have warped law enforcement priorities and perception. Is that more clear than Philadelphia?
Philadelphia officials over a 10-year period have seized more than 1,000 houses, about 3,300 vehicles, and $44 million in cash and civil forfeitures.
Holy shit. Usually when someone describes something taking 3,000 vehicles and 1,000 houses, they're talking about a fucking hurricane. Now, one of those houses belongs to the Sorbellis family, and the reason for that seizure seems a little harsh from the outside.
Police arrested their 22-year-old son, Yanni, on drug charges, $40 worth of heroin, and claimed he was selling drugs out of the home. Police and prosecutors prosecutors came armed with a lawsuit against the house itself.
Exactly, because remember, the parents aren't on trial, the house is, which is clearly ridiculous. The only drug-containing house that needs a lawsuit against it is this one. You're on the edge house. You see it close. You see it close to where you're going. You're good, Hammett. You're close house. You're close, but you're such close. But you're still close house. And once the house was seized, the sole relatives got to experience the final problem with civil forfeiture. Recourse can be incredibly difficult.
Here in Philadelphia, if you have your property taken, you can come here to City Hall and go to courtroom 478 and try to get it back. Problem is, the people that are taking the belongings are also the ones calling the shots inside the courtroom. The four relatives showed up to courtroom 478 ready to plead their case to a judge. Instead, they say they faced a prosecutor from the DA's office.
That's right. Their first step in challenging the police seizing their property was in a courtroom without the judge hearing their case. How can you even still call that a courtroom? If you can take all the doctors out of the hospital and replace them with officers, that's no longer a hospital.
On that towards the end, but it's shit.
I'm like blown out by the whole Zamboni thing. Can you imagine Zamboni coming at you? There ain't no escaping that. That thing will plow you over.
The other one I had is this is a traffic stop. this video epitomizes everything that is wrong with police today. So check this out.
Well, we just got pulled over by the Sandusky Police Department for absolutely no reason. They're checking to see if my girl's license is valid, and we all know that it's valid. It doesn't take this long to check on it. They've called another officer here with a canine, and they don't have a right to search my car. They don't have probable cause, so I'm about to let their ass have it. I'm recording all of this. You all right?
Traffic stop and a drug dog alerting to a vehicle allows them to search it. So bullshit. This is bullshit.
That's not probable cause, sir. Her nervousness? She's not being nervous.
I'm upset. You have my son in the
back. I got a 2-week-old son back here and y'all fucking with us. Yes you are, man. This is illegal. Get the fuck. Got the fucking dog on my car, man.
No, your
car. Sir. No, ain't no difference. Okay, then, so can you leave? Are we under arrest? Are we being detained? Are we being detained? Man, I'm not stepping out of nothing. The dog ain't hit on nothing, man. No. No. It's not happening. What? What is it? Traffic or what? Okay. So I'm not getting out the car. The dog didn't hit on a goddamn thing. You're full of shit. You're full of shit. You don't have the right to search my car.
I don't have a number from California on the thing here.
Ah.
I'm gonna have him call back.
I am right now.
All right. Let me finish this here.
The dog ain't hit on this car, but you're full of shit. No, do not step out the car. No. No. We don't have to get out the car.
We
don't have to get out the car. No.
Not about to be taken.
What?
You're telling me we're going to kill him
30. For what? For what?
Oh, it's legal. You were driving?
No. But man, are you serious? Man, when? When? What are you talking about? Just since you pulled
driving. So why do lights gotta be on?
It's not
dark out.
And my lights have.
What are you talking about? The sun's not down.
That
is bullshit. No, I'm not getting out the car.
I'm getting out. I'm not.
No, do not get out the car. They can't do nothing to you. No, they can't do nothing to you.
They
can't do. They listen. They're trying to scare you. They can't do nothing to you. Explain what to you? Listen, this is illegal.
The only thing absent from this video is when the Sandusky police, they tasered and beat these two. However, the threat of stealing someone's child seems way more than a baton ever could.
It is. You don't have to get out the car. Don't worry about it. Excuse me? Lock the door. What are you doing? You can't get in my car, man. What are you doing? No, I'm not getting out. I'm not. We're not getting out. Are we under arrest? Obstructing what? What are we obstructing?
You're fucking delaying an investigation.
What investigation?
What I just told you.
What investigation is there?
What I just told you.
Man, no. No.
Okay, well, the children's
going to
go to Children's Service.
No. How am I going to Children's Service? How's she going to check? How you going? I'm not getting out the car. For what?
I'm
going to get arrested. For what? When am I getting out? For what? What am I being arrested for?
The dog
hit
on the car.
The dog did not hit on the car, man. The dog ain't hitting on the car, man.
This is unbelievable.
What's your name, sir?
Look. Roll down the window.
All right, I'm just down.
All right, you step out,
bud. No, I'm not stepping out the car. I haven't done anything wrong. There's no drugs in my car. I'm not in arrest. I'm not being detained. And I would like to leave. He said it's a traffic stop and found out she was valid. Then he brought the dog. So what's the dog for?
That ain't
what you said. You said, hold on, I got it all on there. You said we got pulled over because she wasn't valid. Now you're lying.
Don't get out the car. You don't have to get out the car. No, let the window back up. Let your window up.
Come out of the car one way or the other.
For what?
Why am I being pulled over?
For what? You don't have to.
Baby, I can't let him be taken. Through. I can't. I'm not letting him be taken. Oh, Jesus.
I put your hands
behind
your back.
For what?
Put your hands behind your back. Right now,
you're under arrest.
I explained it to you already.
I'm not. Unreal. And you know what? I saw that firsthand happen in front of my house. A car was pulled over, and all of a sudden, here came undercover cars, and one had a dog in it, and they took the people out of the car, and the dog went through the car. I'm like, wow. What the heck is going on here? I took pictures of it.
Yeah.
Sitting on my porch, I'm like, what the hell? I mean, as far as I knew, the person didn't do anything.
Yeah, but you're lucky they didn't come after you.
Why? Because I took photos?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't make it appear that for them to notice.
No, but I'm just saying, you're lucky they didn't ask you what you were watching or what you were doing outside. Do you know these people? You know how they are.
Yeah, I know. I
would have said take pictures of the trees.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I sent those to you that day because it was odd. There was an accident at the intersection. The car got pulled over, and then another one got pulled over and had the dogs in them.
Yeah.
All within, like, the same time frame. I thought I sent those to you and said, hey, check this out.
Remember, but I'll look.
Yeah, like I said, it was odd. But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anybody else to call.
He was on break. And he tried calling in while he was on break, but he said he'll try again another time. So that's cool. That's one of my football people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I got a whole crew of those because I used to play fantasy football. And
we just all have kept in touch over the years. I don't have time for that shit now. Yeah. He's a Raiders fan, so he has grief enough.
Oh, my God. Poor man.
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, the only L.A. team that they got that's winning is Gene Simmons and the other guy. What's his name? They got
Bon Jovi.
Have you been watching your West Coast teams? Your 49ers are on fire.
I know they are.
So are the Chargers.
Oh, big deal. They beat who? The Jets, Sexy Rexy. Oh, give me a break. That's not a team to bump about. Christ. Little Spockies beat the Jets. Ooh-hoo.
And that's okay. The Panthers beat the Bears. That's disgusting.
No team should ever wear teal, in my opinion.
Well, you know, how do the Raiders fans change the light bulb?
Jesus Christ, enlighten me.
They don't. They just talk about how good the old one was.
Hey, you know, let me tell you something. They're, you know, not to gear off subject, but, you know, I'm the football connoisseur. The Raiders are looking for a life-changing event to happen, you know, and they got two possible good coaches that'll take them definitely to a Super Bowl in the next 5 years, providing the organization stays out of it and they let the coach do the coaching. Because you got Chucky there, who did coach the Raiders a long time ago. He's known as Chucky Dahl. Mr. Gruden, who's a hottie, but that's besides the point. He's on deck and been offered some deal. And you also got Mike Holmgren. And just the fact that both those guys have so many years under their belts, have so many playoffs under their belts. I personally think Gruden's not going anywhere because he's got his nice little cushy seat on the Sunday and Monday night lineups. He's making more money on the network, but I definitely agree with Holmgren coming out of retirement. He will take the Raiders far, providing, you know, the old stigma of Al getting involved, even though he's dead. You know, that part of the business aspect needs to stay out of it. The coaches need to be able to pick their players. And Al is the person who destroyed that team from, you know, sticking his nose in. And it's just like Dallas. You look at Romo, and he should not be in that quarterback position. He should have been gone years ago. But you got Jerry trying to run the team, and, you know, that needs to be left to the coaches. And that's my football 2 cents, and that's it. Eunice, I hear you in there.
Do you hear me coughing?
Yes.
Hey, guys.
How goes the good fight, Eunice?
The good fight's going.
Awesome.
That's the bottom line. It's really going. A lot of people that couldn't do anything can start doing things now.
With the bill
being passed. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The lawyers are going to make money. I'm not, but that's okay.
No, but you know something? Your face and your recognition and your signature and everything else will always be remembered because you stood your ground. You know, this was a long battle, and nobody's going to forget you, ever. That's for sure.
No, they all still cross their legs. What can I say?
Hey, you know, that's respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, it was a good fight and a long, long time. But, you know, the ones that are going to win are the children, you know,
yep.
And that's
exactly.
The bottom line.
Lifting those statutes of limitation and, you know, getting all the nonprofit organizations on board and everything else, you know, that's going to be life-changing for, you know, anybody that has to go down that road. That's for sure.
And I hope there's not too many, but we all know that there's still going to be plenty and still people that haven't even come out yet.
Oh, yeah.
So it's...
But you know what? It's a start. It's the beginning in the right direction that lets pedophiles know that, you know, if they get caught, it can be 50 years on down the road and their asses can be put in jail should somebody want to prosecute. And it's about time because, you know, if we put the pressure on these people and we get stiffer sentences and, you know, the longer statute of liability, these people are going to get put away. You know, and it's just to make sure that that bill, you know, stays enforced, that, you know, they take it for what it's worth and do what's expected. And as long as go ahead.
I said what we're trying to do is other states to pick up the SOL bill, meaning going from 3 years to 53 years is like a lifetime.
Yeah,
is a lifetime, you know.
Exactly. But, you know, just getting it going in Massachusetts, and you've been on this for over 10 years, you know, I think that's groundbreaking right there because, I mean, Massachusetts is kind of a leisure. They kind of just let things kind of passively go. And, I mean, this is going to set standards that, you know, people are tired of the slacking when it comes to pedophiles, and it's going to open the eyes, you know, in all the rest of the 49 states, and they're going to follow, you know, because like Phil says, what happens on the East Coast happens on the West Coast, and what happens on the West Coast comes to the East Coast. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's
just a matter of time, and it's going to go, because I mean, pretty much everybody has the same feelings of how they feel about that stuff, and you know, it they got to get a handle on it because that's just the tip of the iceberg. And we've had shows where we've talked, you know, on so many levels with the bill that you're doing and just sex trafficking in general and, you know, all the higher ups that are involved with it that have got their hands clean, you know, and it has to stop. And, you know, it's going to stop with that bill. And, you know, it'll grow to a huge thing, and you know, the kids will land up either you know, getting justice. If they can't talk about it till 30 years later, they'll have people that they can go to because things will be put in place. This is going to open up a whole network of things.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely it is. It really, really is, and it's, you know, they had talked about, you know, you know, Eunice, we're going to put your name on a bill. And I says, no, you're not. This is not a bill about me. This is about the
children.
Yeah. You know, it has nothing to do with me. I'm just a fighter. If I had never gone down that lane with my child, you know, and I really believe it, you know. I really believe God says, okay, she's a strong bitch. You know, she's not going to give up on it.
You paid the ultimate price with the loss of your son, and it shouldn't have had to go like that, you know, no matter what. And that's the hardest part. And you just keep on trugging along and letting people know that, you know what, you're not going to sit down and this is not acceptable. And it's not acceptable.
Yeah. And whoever thought, you know, I mean, in the beginning, people used to say, you know, something, you're fighting a lost battle. And, you know, I used to say, listen, if I could just make a little dent, I don't care. At least I made a dent. But
right.
We've made a big dent, you know, a big, big dent. And another thing, and I have to give the House of Representatives credit, you know, Republicans and Democrats worked together on this. We have 160 representatives at the State House, and there was two out sick. One had just passed. 158 representatives voted yes.
That's so cool.
That's unheard of.
But
I
that's
mean,
a miracle.
That's
yeah.
That's another chapter, you know,
right.
That 158 of them voted yes. That's the first time that Republicans and Democrats worked together.
You need to write a book.
Yeah.
You know? You need to write a book, Eunice, because,
I mean, that's,
you know.
That's such a landmark history of Massachusetts. It really is.
Yeah,
and you know the sad part about it? It was never publicized.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You need to write a book because people need to know about your struggles, your triumphs, your happies, your sads through going through all this, because there's a lot of emotion and stuff that, you know, people don't know about. And I really think that writing a book and being a native of Massachusetts and going at this for as many years as you have is going to, people are going to read it, you know, and you should try to put it together, because there are so many people that book would touch on so many levels, you know. So there's some food for thought for you, Eunice.
Yeah, well, Stace, I've tried to do this. I've tried to write a book. And when you come up against the emotions, you know, trying to bring yourself back to that time, it's hard. It's really, really, really hard. That it would be easier if I could get a ghostwriter and just speak into a microphone and let them sort it out, you know, by year, you know.
Right.
Because emotionally, it is so hard. I think the older you get, the softer you get, you know.
Right.
And
that goes along with what I said before. If you guys bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
That's,
you know,
yeah, that's the truth.
It's really hard. I've tried it. I've got several chapters, and then I sit down and I read it, and I say, oh, God, you know, it just drains me. It just totally drains me. And I have several of them, but it's just putting it together, you know.
Well, you could also have someone write it for you.
That's very hard to get someone to do that, Nara.
Sure.
A friend of mine's cousin's husband is a ghostwriter, and he was telling them some of the stories, you know, what I have done in my lifetime, and the ghostwriter wants to call me. So let's see if he calls me.
Right.
If he wants to call me and I don't have to come up with monies and stuff like that, then I'll let him go for it, you know.
Right. I mean, it's just a thought, because I know how difficult it would be, because it's bringing all the emotions back, the pain, the suffering, everything, you know.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Well, I'll tell you, to change the subject, I told you my daughter, I brought her home in May.
Right.
And she's doing wonderful. I just have to tell you, it's taken her this far to to not want to change her looks and everything. Last week she had long, long hair, and it was all one length. You know what I mean? And she pulled it back in a ponytail. She went last week, had it all chopped off, real short, nice style, had her eyes plucked, had her toes and her feet done, and she said to me, Ma, why didn't I do this years ago? I says, because you didn't have the inspiration which you were going through. And she's come so far in such a short time, you know. We're leaving the 19th to go to Florida. And I'm sure she'll do much better down there. So am I. I need the sun. Health-wise, I feel wonderful. I really do.
Well, at least you can travel. I've been grounded for a while. I'm not supposed to, like, travel alone at all.
Why? What did you do?
Well, I landed up. I've got extreme hypoglycemia at the moment. My sugars keep dropping to nothing, and I pass out here and there and randomly hit my head. So I went up to Boston to Joslin Clinic, the number one clinic in the country for diabetes, and I'm working with them. I've been put in a study program because I fall in the 5th percentile that, you know, mm-hmm. this no good. It's no good. So I just look at it like this. Everything they're doing for me is going to help somebody else further on down the road. And
exactly.
You know, they're doing groundbreaking stuff up there, and they mentioned a few options to me that I had never even heard of. I was totally stuck on stupid when they were going over things with me. So if anybody can get it all situated and right so I can start living normally again, it'll be Boston. My total
faith
with them.
Let me tell you what they did with me. You're a diabetic, right?
No, I'm not. That's what... See, the problem with me is most hypoglycemic people have either type 1 or type 2 diabetes. I do not have any form of diabetes at all. So it puts me in what they call the 5 percentile. We're the people that go to sleep and don't wake up. We go into sugar comas.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the problem of the biggest thing is at night regulating my sugar to get up high to maintain through my sleep pattern. And, you know, that's the scary part is you go to sleep and you wake up and your sugar's like at 29 and you're shaking and drooling and you can't walk and you can't figure out head to toe. You know, you got to rely on the people around you. So right now the biggest thing they told me is awareness. Everybody I'm around to tell them what's going on. I carry an emergency kit with me with all kinds of different things in it. And, you know, so far... Friends, family, friends from afar, you know, everybody has just been, like, great with support. I mean, people on the West Coast text me and message me, tell me, are you eating, you know, and different things like that. And it's cool. It's great to know that, you know, there are so many caring people in this country, you know, just because they're not here at my doorstep doesn't mean that everything they say to me isn't appreciated, because it is. Because when you're a person that's actively on the go and you're used to the hustle and bustle of everyday life and you're all of a sudden told, yo, you gotta stop, you gotta slow down, you need to be with people at all times. You know, they don't want me driving long distance, they don't want me flying long distance, they don't want me on any form of transit by myself at all, you know. They've got this thing which they shared with me, which is pretty new, where they put a glucose meter inside of you. It goes on by the rib cage, and it monitors your sugar every 5 minutes. And should you have a rapid drop, it sounds an alarm, you know, to get you to do what has to do, because that's a big problem with me too. It's like I'll be fine, and then 2 minutes later, my sugar just drops, you know, and that's what they're trying to figure out the whys. So, you know, that's the only shitty part is making sure I have company 24/7. I feel like my privacy has been totally thrown out the door, and that's why I talk about it so openly, because the more people that are aware, the more people are going to know, and, you know, should I need help, someone's going to know how to help me.
All right, you know what they did with me for my diabetes? Mine was running very high, and...
Yeah.
And I've tried everything, the flex pen, the blah, blah, blah. Now they have this new thing called Vigo.
Yep.
It's a little tiny thing that you attach to your body, and you test your sugar, and you just have to push this button to give yourself the insulin. This thing is amazing, and it's really kept my sugar down in a good range. You
nice.
Know, it's a lot cheaper than the flex pens, thank God. That was costing like.
You know what I was impressed with, Eunice? You go to your regular physicians, your regular hospitals. They spend about 15 minutes with you. The doctor that was assigned to me spent 3 hours with me. 3 hours talking to me like a human being, going over all my daily activities, my nighttime activities, what I eat, what I don't eat, what I should eat, what I shouldn't eat, did a physical like nobody's business. I mean, checked it between my toes, my elbows, my reflexes, you know, and I learned a couple of things that are diabetic traits that I never even knew before. But it was great to be dealt with as a person and not a number and not an insurance claim, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in on her day off, too, to accommodate me, which I was impressed with, too. You know,
right.
So the fact of the matter that I was treated like a human and not a number just weighs so much more on me than anything else, because, you know, these people that work there, their main goal is to find a cure for diabetes. That's all they do, you know, and the fact of the matter that I have this within a, you know, a 2-hour reach, I am completely humbled by, because it's not everybody in the United States that has the number one clinic in the country right at their doorstep, you know. So, like I said, by going in the study program, I'm giving back to everything that they're giving me, because one day there'll be no such thing as high blood sugar or low blood sugar. And, you know, I think all of us have lost people from diabetes, because it's not the diabetes that kills you. It's all the things that comes along with diabetes.
With it, yeah.
All the complications, you know. And, I mean, cancer awareness is out there and, you know, things like that. But I really feel that diabetes should also be at the top of that list, because it takes more people, you know, on some levels than some form of cancer itself. And
I've always said, Nora. I mean, Stacy, that's what I've always said. You know why? We never get involved until it happens to us.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know? But I got to tell you this one thing before I forget it. I was fooling around with my phone, and I got a lot of your stuff on my phone, right? So my granddaughter has been sending me some terrible messages like, go fuck yourself. You're no good.
Jesus.
You turn me into DFI or whatever they call it. So now there was four things down at the bottom, and one was a microphone. Do you have that on your phone?
Yes, I do. Did you send her a message?
Oh, I most certainly did. Several of them. It's the first time I knew I could do that, because I hate texting. I hate to text. I don't know how to text.
I do talk to text all the time, and you should see the massive typos I send people.
Ouch. Well, that's what you're going to get from me. You know, I just learned this a couple of days ago. Isn't that amazing, Nora?
Yes,
I just learned it.
And I'm proud of you.
Did you girls get any of the pictures from the State House?
No, I didn't.
No.
Well, what I'm going to do is when we get off, Phil, did you get any?
No.
All right. When I get off, I'm going to call Nora. Nora will tell me how I can send it to you guys under my phone, from my phone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll send you one group picture of all of us, and they got me standing right next to the governor.
Oh,
you know.
Nice. Speaking of governors, have you heard what's going on in Fall River, Massachusetts? They recalled Mayor Flanagan because his dumbass pulled out a gun on one of the committee people or council people, whatever you want to call that. And, you know, it all started with the trash bags, man. When he started charging people for trash bags and, you know, several different other things, the people stood up. They were picketing outside of City Hall. And, he plans on taking it all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, you know, and I personally feel he's going to milk it right along by the time he gets in there. You know, it'll be re-election time. He's definitely not getting re-elected. But, you know, the fact of the matter that he was stupid enough to pull out a gun on a person, well, what the hell's the matter with him? Honestly, he's been caught at the girlfriend's house. He's been caught, you know, sticking his hands in places that don't belong, like the money. You know, and several different other things. And what makes him think he can get away with, you know, just
when somebody's in power like that, they think they can.
Yeah, well, you know, he's about to get his ass handed to him is what's happening, because, you know, the city's falling apart. There is no work, like there is no work anywhere else. The opiate addiction is one in every three, and you got a mayor that's whipping out guns. You know, it's
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, I call Fall River, you know, Ghettoville. I call it Gotham City. I'm like, it's the armpit of Massachusetts with no deodorant on a 100-degree day, you know, and it's exactly what it is, man. It has become the dark abyss.
Oh, God, I'm telling you. It's terrible. But that's what I've been doing, and I miss calling in because every time I call in, I hear this crazy music. You know. Phil, how's Bill doing?
Holding his own.
Good. You tell him I said hello and I said my love. You know.
Oh. But, yeah, he's just, motoring along. Getting ready for his trip to, Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, that's coming up pretty soon, huh?
He needs that. It'll do him good.
Yeah. Yeah, it will.
Yeah, everybody's...
Well, all right, guys. I'm not going to stay on the line too long.
No,
you know,
in fact, I'm going
line.
Out of here in about 2 minutes because I've got something I got to do in for the night.
All right.
Does it consist of a motel room and massages?
Don't worry about it, nosy.
They don't have those beds where you put the quarters in anymore. They got rid of that because people got hurt.
Oh, my God. Now I'm having visions. Oh, this is bad.
Oh, no. They still have ones like that out here.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Next time either one of you taken using one of those, take a short video for me, will you?
No.
Can
we tell you
no,
battery operated?
No, they're motorized. You know?
I can't even imagine sitting on a bed, putting a quarter in, and having that thing vibrate like nobody's business and it toss your ass on the floor.
I did that to my mother, Stacy. We were in Vegas.
Oh, my God.
And she was sound asleep. And
I put a quarter in. Stay
and she broke her toe when she fell out of bed. Oh, those days.
I tried that. I thought it was actually funny.
Well, Phil, make
all
sure
right,
you have your $10 worth of quarters in your pocket.
Yeah.
I don't need $10.
Give you a call.
Okay.
And Stacy, right. I'll send you a message.
Awesome.
Okay. All right,
talk to you guys later.
All right.
Good night, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye.